97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Don't forget, tomorrow's Friday. That means a Reardon Roundtable. Jane will be here. We have so much to talk about, including this effort to put unarmed security officers on the streets of St. Louis to, you know, assure people or to reassure people that it's safe in the city. We'll talk about that tomorrow at 3, along with Ms. Duker, State Rep Steve Butts, and Gene Evans on the panel. Of course, all the regular stuff with entertainment with Paul Hall. Kusumana will be here tomorrow. Oh, Rick Wakeman from Yes will also be here. He's coming to the Sheldon. I think it's October 20th. So Rick will be here. I spoke with him a couple of weeks ago, and he was all geared up and excited because St. Louis means a lot to Yes, and Rick because of Keishi. Keishi meant a lot to a lot of these bands when they exploded in the 1970s, for sure. So that's all coming up tomorrow. Steve Cortez is back with us. He, of course, was a senior advisor to Trump in 2016 and 2020 in the campaigns. He's back with us this afternoon. How are you, Steve?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I just played this, and I thought of you as I was getting ready for this segment here, because we've chatted before. Both of us were in the camp, I think, at one point that thought it's time to move on from Donald Trump. Maybe Ron DeSantis can do it. But here's what Gordon Sondland said on MSNBC, got Ari Melber's attention.
Why was it important for you to say no more Trump because of his January 6th conduct, and do you stand by that?
No, I don't stand by it, and I'll tell you why. I've now lived 4 years under the Biden-Harris policies, and I have to say that those policies are not only becoming an existential threat to our country's way of life, but to our allies as well.
Well, I found that pretty relatable, Steve. I don't know about you.
Well, I mean, in a sense, but let me just be clear, too. I was never Trump. I just thought during the primary.
No, I know that.
That the next evolution was Ron DeSantis. Well, I'm just saying, though, Gordon, just to be clear, he was very much never Trump.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the distinction, because the never Trumpers are a different animal unto themselves and sometimes very embarrassing. So,
But regardless, I'm glad he's come over. All right. You know, listen, if he did suffer from some temporary insanity of the never Trump syndrome, he has recovered, and we should welcome him. Okay. And it's not about a purity test. It's about convincing people. It's about persuading citizens and about winning elections. And if we're going to get people like him, and you could tell, you know, particularly when you watch the clip, the video of it, that, you know, it was Ari Melber was not pleased to see this transformation from somebody who had been pretty virulently anti-Trump. But look, even somebody like him is willing to admit, if he's being intellectually honest, which, you know, he is, that even if you have problems with Trump, that this era of open borders and runaway inflation has been misery for most Americans. That's the reality of what Kamala Harris is vice president and Joe Biden is president. What they have done for this country. We don't have to guess about the records. This is very unusual that we have a sitting vice president running against a former sitting president, right? Unprecedented. And in that case, we can really judge effectively their records. And by the way, this is something I poll on. I've been doing tons of polling of the battleground state. And we ask, you know, the simple question, kind of the foundational political question about, were you better off under Donald Trump or now? And very consistently, that number in the battleground states is coming back about 2-1 better off Trump, roughly 60-30 with roughly 10% unsure better off. So I continue to believe, even though it's going to clearly be a tight election, that ultimately that judgment is what's going to be what will put Donald Trump over the top in tight races in the battleground state.
You know, some of this may be simplifying it, but I think what's happening right now with the devastation in North Carolina and elsewhere is sort of highlighting the point here. And it's rather symbolic of what's going on with this administration, because I think people in this country, and it's not just Republicans, it's well beyond Republicans. That's why you see a huge number even of Democrats when it comes to the mass deportation question, Stephen. You know that. But you have a lot of people in this country that keep looking at billions of dollars that are being shipped away. And now, in particular, people in North Carolina say, wait a second, you can easily pass this bill for billions and that bill and ship arms overseas. And I get that some of that stuff is already built and we're just, you know, providing a channel with some of this money. But people are sick and tired of it. The immigration issue certainly brought that home. And now, in a very sad and tragic way, this is also being, you know, highlighted in North Carolina.
Right. Totally. You know, look, $35 trillion in debt, a lot of it spent on disastrous foreign wars that have gone on for decades, and a lot of it now, under this administration, spent on illegal migrants in this country who in many ways live better than American citizens do in terms of getting their expenses paid, things like rent and phone. I was just in Charleroi, Pennsylvania, which is a very small town south of Pittsburgh. I'm putting out videos on my social media by interviews with regular folks there, not, you know, the so-called experts, but just regular people And they are irate at the situation and at the inequity of the foreigners, the migrants, being treated far better than Americans. And then, of course, it's even more accentuated in a place like Western North Carolina right now. And, of course, my main concern in all of us as Americans is for our brothers and sisters there who are hurting, that they get taken care of. But I will also tell you, the political operative in me is also worried. Gosh, I hope, you know, number one, from a human standpoint, we had to get things sorted out there and get these people taken care of. But number two, we've got to make sure Western North Carolina is probably the strongest part of the state for Donald Trump, that we've got to make sure that voting happens in an orderly way, and that their voices are not just heard symbolically, but that their votes are cast.
Steve, this is so important. I brought this up in the monologue, and there's infrastructure that is just simply gone. There's people vote in schools and churches and places like that. Some of that is just gone right now.
Yeah. No, as I said, the main worry, of course, is for the human toll. But in addition to that, there is a political reality here. And it's going to be really, really important that Republicans in that state take the lead on this, because I doubt the Democrat governor, Roy Cooper, is going to. So local Republicans, mayors, townspeople, sheriffs, you know, all of them are going to have to take the lead and doing everything possible to make sure that these people have already undergone enough. They at least have to make sure that their right as citizens to cast their ballots and have those ballots count and matter will in fact unfold, because it's important for them, and it's going to definitely be important because, as I said, the western part of the state is the most conservative, generally most conservative part of the state. The Appalachian region of North Carolina, Donald Trump is extremely popular throughout Appalachia, West Virginia, Eastern Tennessee, not far from where I live, and then Western North Carolina. So a lot of these people are hurting. They're not being helped clearly by their government, and I hope that makes them even more fired up to vote for actual change, because Kamala Harris pretends she's changed, but of course she's not.
I love that they're trying to sell change. Steve Cortez back with us this afternoon. So give me a little bit of a snapshot on the landscape of the battleground states and the polling that you're seeing right now. You know, what I see, we'll see if this matches up, looks like Georgia is seeming a little bit better, more comfortable for Trump. I put North Carolina in that category before this week as well. I've even seen Michigan move a little bit maybe more in Trump's direction. So, Steve, what are you seeing?
Yes. So pre-storm, North Carolina was the place where I was most comfortable, actually. I mean, not that we can be complacent anywhere, but we were showing pretty consistently +3%, +4%. And I really try to do my polling in a very rigorous scientific way. We want to know the truth on the ground, not what we want to be the truth. And so that North Carolina and Georgia, the southern swing states, are the places where I'm most comfortable right now. We have it basically dead tied everywhere else. And all the races are winnable and all the races are losable. That's my honest take right now. Now, again, I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win most of them, maybe even all of them, largely because of the economy. But I live in reality. I'm not Pollyanna. And my polling tells us that these states are all effectively tied or extremely, extremely close within the margin of error. So we've got a lot of work to do for the next month. A lot of prayer and a lot of work. And if we do that, I do think we're going to win.
Well, what are you seeing with Hispanic and African-American voters in particular?
Yeah, so the Hispanic story is just amazing. It continues to astound people and to frustrate the Democrats, because they just continue to lose what was their control over this group. And we're polling regularly now in the 40s, and Hispanics are really key in Arizona and Nevada, and more than people might know in Georgia. Georgia is actually 10% Hispanic. A lot of jobs there. My people go where the jobs are. So over being Hispanics in Georgia. So in all three of those states, if we continue to poll into the mid-40s with Hispanics, I think that is going to be determinative. The black vote story is a good one, but it's not as good as the Latino one, quite honestly. I mean, yes, we are getting into the lower double digits in some of these states, into the low teens, but it's nothing monumental. You know, historically, 7, 8, 9%. For most Republicans, not just Trump, has been kind of consistent. So we're besting that by a little bit, but it's not the kind of game changer that the Hispanic situation seems to be.
But also, if you let's say there's a significant portion might cross over for Trump, but if people stay home, and there's an amazing, I don't know if you picked this up in the polling, but just anecdotally, it seems like there's a lot of distrust of Kamala Harris with African Americans.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of that issue of distrust, we asked about this in the last several state polls we did. We just got this in Nevada, got it before in Georgia, almost the exact same numbers. We said, is she genuine in switching her position on some key issues? And we specifically said the border wall and fracking, because to me, those are probably the two most stark reversals, where she now literally has the exact opposite position of what she had previously. Only in each of those states on both of those issues Less than a third of voters say they believe she is genuine. So 28%, 29%, 30% say she is genuine, including, by the way, a lot of Democrats, and which includes, naturally, a lot of black voters. So, yeah, I think there's something to that. There may be a cohort of you know, somewhat left-of-center voters or historically Democrat voters, probably a lot of them black, who we may not win over. We may not be able to convince them to actually switch sides and pull the lever for Donald Trump, but they may be disappointed enough in their lives under Kamala Harris and Joe Biden that they just stay home. Yeah, they just skip over the presidential and vote on other things.
One more topic. I know that you, if I'm not mistaken, you were relatively and have been relatively close with J.D. Vance. I always, after day two, I figured it was a good pick. I was a little suspicious because I did like Glenn Youngkin, but, you know, soon enough I realized, and he's real tight with one of our senators, my friend Eric Schmidt, but he did outstanding at that debate the other night. And no matter what happens, and I certainly hope that we come out victorious here in a few weeks, it seems to me like the future of the Republican Party seems very bright right now, Steve. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I sure think so. And listen, I commend Donald Trump because, you know, he showed that he was willing to select a very dynamic, very strong young man for this job because he believes that he'll be an amazing vice president and that I think president someday. And I will tell you this, in terms of getting optimistic, because it's easy to be disillusioned for valid reasons, right? Our country's a mess right now. However, if we get 4 years of Trump, if we get another Trump term, and then we get 8 years of President Vance, those 12 years, we can fix a heck of a lot in this country. And that is a reason to be optimistic. I haven't been very optimistic these last few years with Kamala and Joe in the White House, but I'm telling you, this idea of a Trump-Vance potential three-peat, you know, we can't get ahead of ourselves. We've got to win the first one, of course. But if that were to happen, if we had 12 years of that, wow, we can really save this country.
Well, let's just see what happens in about 5 weeks. Enjoy the home stretch, Steve. Thanks for joining me this afternoon. I really appreciate it, as always.
You bet. Thank you, Mark.
Take care. That's Steve Cortez. We will see what happens here in these final weeks. And I'm more optimistic. Maybe this is a bad thing. I'll just say this because, you know, Sue, I'm more glass half empty, especially on this race. I just felt you get sucked up into the moment. In August in particular, I thought that everyone was protecting her so much. She comes out of the, out of the gate from the convention, and it's just positive coverage after positive coverage. And then there's no interviews and things like that. So in the last few weeks, and this is where people start to focus, I think that things have swung in an interesting way in some of these states to Trump. When you look at, you know, the western states in particular, Arizona and Nevada, they look pretty good for Trump right now. And Michigan is the one that's most interesting to me. I think I heard my friend Dan O'Donnell earlier this week say he thinks that Trump can win Wisconsin. I'm not so sure that that will happen unless African Americans stay home. But Michigan, because I do think there's this undercurrent on the economy, in particular with people who have jobs that are tied to, you know, technology. We're seeing this with the longshoremen right now. That main argument is about automation. These auto workers in Michigan are hacked off about what the administration has done with EVs, and I think that's going to come through here in a few weeks. 3:40 on a Thursday afternoon. We'll come back with more on 97.1 FM Talk. Don't forget Sue's News in the next hour.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.